from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, the mother-freaking show, Ugly.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Speaking of parties, real quick, a little housekeeping here. Thirsty Thursdays are back this year, y'all. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings all over the city throughout the season. It starts this Thursday in Katy over on the west side, the Park Row location. Thirsty Thursday, Ron, is brought to us by
Bud Light, baby, and they got everything you need. And when Bud Light comes out, not only will they have the young lady serving the Bud Light drinks.
The promo gals
serving the Bud Light drinks and serving some of the seltzers that they also serve. But you can win prizes. And I remember the young lady, she was a winner before too, but she took home a really, really nice cooler. I mean, what do you say,
girl?
Man? 150, I mean, $200.
It was a high-quality cooler. There ain't no doubt about it.
It had bottle openers on the side, wine openers. It was, I don't know about wine openers, but it was bottle openers on the side. It was really, really nice. And so there will be prizes brought to you by Bud Light there as well. So come on out and hang with us tomorrow.
We got some gift cards as well. I believe those are brought to you by Academy on Thursday as well.
So some
gift cards as well, $50 gift cards, if I remember correctly. But so y'all come out, check us out, not only just hang and have a good time and get ready for this game. There's a Thursday night game as well. You can do a little pregame. And you got Kansas City, Baltimore kickoff. What a hell of a football game to kick off the regular season. You can catch that tomorrow as well. You can pregame with us. Heck, you can stick around Buffalo Wild Wings and watch a game if you'd like. Thirsty Thursday is back. Also, Football Friday is back. I guess they're tired of me and Ron being here in the building. They're going to get our ass up out of here every Thursday and Friday for the next several months. But
we
football
get a chance to party.
Yes, we do, Dusty. Football Fridays, we're gonna be all around the city. But this week, we are at East River 9, a little lighted par 3 golf course at the restaurant. Bar area. It's a really, really cool entertainment type venue. I think they even had some pickleball stuff, didn't they?
They got pickleball on the other side, full court, sweeping the nation.
Yeah, East River 9 over here on the east side, obviously. Come through, check us out. And that one right there is Academy Sports and Outdoors through and through. And here's what I mean. Show up to one of the Football Fridays. You can start this week. There'll be QR codes on every table. You click that QR code, and it is the ultimate tailgate prize pack. It is a $1,000 ultimate tailgate prize pack brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. You got to be there in person to register, right? Not only is that $1,000 at Academy Sports and Outdoors, but it's also a couple of tickets to hang with me and Ron, so choose. At the Christmas Day game.
Against the Baltimore Ravens.
Against the Baltimore Ravens this year. So, well, hell of a package. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for that. So make sure you get by, preferably this week, but definitely one of our live broadcasts, and click that QR code and get registered. We want to make sure we make that happen. Also, we had Danny Cannell on. I've already got several text messages, hit up on social media several times. Danny's great. Danny's always great. If you're listening via the Odyssey app, the AUDACY, if you're listening via the Odyssey app, you obviously get it. If you're not, hey, don't hesitate. You need to download the Odyssey app, and you need to follow along because there's a rewind feature on there. So you hear us talking about Danny Cannell, boom, You can hit that rewind feature. You can go back. You can listen to Danny Cannell. Like I think it was yesterday. Obviously, Nick Caserio's on with Payne and Pendergast in the morning. If you miss it, boom, hit that rewind feature. Go on back and listen to it. So, again, AUDACY, the Odyssey app, is the way to go. Look, it's game week, and I told you guys, I told everybody out there that Nick Caserio dropped enough gold for us, audio gold, if I'm being honest, when he was on with Payne and Pendergast, that we could do, hell, we could do 2-3 days worth of shows on it.
Pendergast and Payne.
Those guys right there. Yep, we are going to talk a lot about the Indianapolis Colts offense, and at least I am. I think the matchup in this game that is more of an unknown is D'Amico Ryan's defense with a lot of new faces, with some injuries, with some rookies playing, with some guys playing out of position, not out of position, but in new positions, versus Shane Steichen's offense, which is only going to go as far as Anthony Richardson takes him. And there's some elements there with the zone read stuff with the quarterback run, the RPO run pass option that you have to defend when you're playing the Colts, that every team doesn't present those kind of issues. It's unique to a handful of teams, and the Indianapolis Colts are definitely one of them. And I'm talking about unique to teams that do it well. Everybody runs some level of RPO and some level of read. I'm talking about teams that do it well. I'm not including the 2022 Texans that ran zone read with Davis Mills. Not that. I'm talking about teams that do it well. And Nick Caserio, when he's on with the morning guys, he spoke specifically about defending the RPO or really the RPO element of the Colts offense. I think he did. I think Nick was talking about that.
No question. I mean, Shane's a really good coach. He does a really good job. But the RPO component, it's really, you're talking about the linebacker and extend that out to the nickel or the safety, whoever that seventh defender is. So there's a run-pass element. So you have to be disciplined with your eyes. You have to be disciplined with your keys. You have to make sure that you're in the right position. And you just have to trust your training and trust your technique and then trust a call. And it takes work. So it takes a lot of preparation. And you kind of have a background. If you have a background with a coach, it's relevant to a point. But then once you get into the game, then you're going to have a decent idea of the game. You know, we've talked about this probably by the end of the first quarter, early second quarter, the game's going to kind of declare on both sides of the ball, including the kicking game as well. So certainly it can be challenging. But if you just are doing the right things and you're playing with the right technique and you're not trying to do too much and you trust your eyes, just trust what you see. And if you're an instinctive football player, hopefully you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be able to make the play, or you're not going to expose the defense or put the defense at risk.
But if you blink, it's a problem. And so we'll see if D'Amico Ryans has his defense prepared to handle the read game and the RPO run pass option game. Because here's the deal. I'll lay it out for you. The read game. Quarterback's in gun. Snap the football, put it in the belly of the running back. We're gonna leave one of the defensive ends unblocked. If that defensive end chases the running back, the quarterback's going to pull it and keep it around the end. You've got numbers. You got a hat for a hat. The defense has problems. If that defensive end honors the quarterback, then you hand it, and you got a hat for a hat play side in the run game. Anthony Richardson is a real threat to take that thing out the back door. You got to be disciplined. If you're Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter, you got to be disciplined, and you got to be able to react in a major way. You got to process what the hell's going on and then chase, or process what's going on and stop your key, right? Then you look at the RPO game. Quarterback's going to snap the football, put it in the belly of the running back. If Jalen Petrie in coverage, if he triggers, or if a safety triggers, or if a linebacker triggers, depending on who they're keying, if that guy triggers to stop the run, the quarterback's going to pull the ball and throw it literally right where that defender just left. There's going to be a wide receiver replacing where that defender just left. And so if you trigger early on run, you're going to be in trouble. And if you trigger late on run, you're going to be chasing. So it is unbelievably difficult to stop. And it don't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're fully loaded. It's unbelievably difficult to stop. And again, this is all an if Anthony Richardson is ready and able to run this offense the way that we've seen several quarterbacks absolutely kill college football with it. We've seen Kyler Murray be really good with it at the NFL level. We've seen Lamar Jackson be really, really good with it at the NFL level. We've seen
Shane Steichen with Jalen Hurts.
With Jalen Hurts be really, really good. That's a great point. Well, why not point out what the head coach has done as well with that Eagles run to the Super Bowl a couple years back. Right now, it's difficult to stop when you have all your dudes. Now, here's D'Amico Ryans talking about the Texans linebackers, and the fact that there's no Christian Harris for a while.
And not having Christian is tough. Christian really, man, he took a jump as the year went on last year. Was really excited about his growth, and he was in a really great spot for us. So it hurts not having him. But the young guys who are behind him, right, Henry, Jake, Delshawn, all those guys have to step up and just do their part, right? They don't have to be Christian. They just have to do what they're supposed to do, play our style of football, and they'll be just fine.
So you got Nick telling you that it's all about linebacker X and then the nickel or linebacker X and the safety. And then you got D'Amico saying, yeah, man, it's tough that we ain't got Christian Harris. This is why the Christian Harrises of the NFL are so damn valuable, is because they make it not easier, but they make a defensive coordinator a little more confident in defending, whether it's the read runs or it's the RPOs. With no Christian Harris, what Nick Caserio said, if you just look at the bodies, you're talking about Jalen Petrie and Henry Toa-Toa. You're talking about Jalen Petrie and potentially Delshawn Phillips.
Or Hanson,
right? I mean, so look, I mean, this is a real, I mean, somebody on the defensive side of the football is going to play uphill in a major, major way. And the obvious part of it is you don't have Christian Harris. And so we'll see what these linebackers look like. We'll see who can step up in the absence of Christian Harris. And we'll see ultimately what D'Amico Ryans' defense looks like against what I think has the potential to be one of the best RPO quarterback run game type of offenses in the league. You got Philly, you got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, you got Buffalo. I mean, you got a hand, four or five of them that are legitimately real problems, and Indy has a chance to be one of those.
Yeah, that's why this is, to me, I mean, C.J. Stroud is the best player on the field on Sunday. But this game very well may be won or lost with this matchup that you're talking about. With the linebackers and the front seven against what the Colts want to do with their front seven. It's their strength. It's how they want to win. And as you said, man, they could be right up there at the top of the league in terms of RPOs with their run game with both their quarterback and their running back. They could be at the very, very top. That's why everything you've been talking about to kick this thing off is so important in this game, because if they are successful, it affects CJ, it affects the offense, it affects now maybe adjustments that D'Amico might have to make. And now, as you said, not only are you chasing on the field in individual plays, but now you're chasing throughout the game and trying to figure out what they're going to do and then having a grab from other stuff. If they can just and play this game in a route in which, you know, Anthony Richardson is doing things that maybe he's not as comfortable in doing, and he's thinking more than just playing, then the Texans will be in good shape. That's why I think this arguably is the most important part of the game.
Absolutely. I think it's going to end up being what determines this game. D'Amico Ryans versus Shane Steichen, not as the head coaches, but as the offensive and defensive play callers. We don't know what Anthony Richardson necessarily is. We don't know what his targets really are outside of Pittman, to be completely honest with you. What is the RPO game going to look like? What is Anthony Richardson week one, first rattle out of the gate? What is he capable of doing? How well does he know the offense? And D'Amico Ryans, you got a bunch of rookies, you got some injuries, you got some guys that you've added to this team. You know, what does it look like? How does that matchup unfold? We shall see on Sunday at noon. Hey, real quick, I know we talked to Danny Cannell on the college scene, last segment here, and he took Florida State as being in worse shape than Clemson. And, hell, I'm in the disagreeing mood. I don't know if I agree with that. Have you seen the latest of this Dabo Swinney stuff? Obviously they got absolutely destroyed by the Georgia Bulldogs, which shouldn't surprise anybody. When they destroy somebody, I mean, it shouldn't be like just a – especially that game was close at half. It got away from them in the second half, and the better, more physical, deeper football team ended up winning and winning convincingly. But, you know, Dabo, I think it's important. Dabo is a guy that has not embraced the transfer portal at all. He has zero starts by transfer players. Zero starts by transfer players. And so he's not embraced it. So there's a bigger storyline here of him doing it the old traditional way, Ron, and he is pushing back. He is pushing back really hard on the critics at this point in time, talking about now's not the time to change your approach. And not that I don't disagree with what Dabo's saying, but I don't know that right now is the time to stick your chest out and say the way that I'm doing things, I'm confident is the right way after getting the doors blown off.
Yeah, I could see right now in this season, Danny Cannell saying Clemson or Florida State's in a worse spot. But I'm with you overall. Like, I mean, what are you fire Dabo? No, I don't think Dabo. I think Dabo has done enough at Clemson that he doesn't get fired, but then you may have to just ride him out. And Dabo seems to be a guy that is just stubborn as hell and hell bent on, no, I'm gonna prove you. I don't have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And sometimes delusional. Like he said before this game, if I were a bet man, if I were buying stock, I'd buy stock on Clemson right now. As before, they got waxed by Georgia playing a C-plus game. So I don't know, long term, man, I feel like it might be.
I think, Ron, isn't there something there? And look, it's easy to sit on this side of the table or this side of the camera, I guess, and critique it. But, like, isn't there something there of just being like, hey, guys, look, we understand we're doing things a little bit differently. You know, I've given these guys my word. I'm doing things the traditional way of college football. And we're going to do our damnedest to develop these guys and make sure that it works. That was a rough outing. No doubt about it. It looked rough. But we got a plan here, and it's going to end up working out for us, and everything's going to be fine. Instead of, boy, he's got a real almost arrogant pushback to
he's stubborn as hell.
Boy, it's an interesting look, man. And if it's an interesting look, which becomes unacceptable if you drop 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, and they're capable of doing it.
Like at some point, you got to say, hey, man. Your plan, it was a terrible ass plan, and it set the program back.
They can
get
got by Boston College and Georgia.
Absolutely. That's
the teams that beat Florida State. Absolutely. They can get got by those teams, and not to mention Miami and the other teams in the ACC. All right, coming up, the lineup is out and Bregman is back in it. We got to discuss this because he's immediately back in it playing third base, and more on the lineup when it involves Kyle Tucker when he returns. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up here, 440, you'll hear from our guy Brandon Scott as we do our Texans report. The first one of the regular season. He was out there today. Big, big media day, practice day. Will Anderson was back. I got to see how he looked to Brandon and if he laid eyes on him in practice. And he talked to D'Amico and C.J. Stroud as well. So all of that coming up, 440. Stay tuned for that. With the Astros, they are back at it against the Cincinnati Reds tonight. And here is the lineup, and there's really a piece that I want to get to. Altuve and Alvarez. Alvarez is in left field with Diaz in the 3 spot as the DH. And Bregman, yes, is back, but he is playing third base. Caratini is catching. And hitting 5th behind Bregman, Pena, Gamel, DeZinzo's at first, and then Chaz McCormick is in center field tonight while Jake is away. The one that jumps out obviously is, yay! Alex Bregman's in the lineup. Alex Bregman's batting 4th in the lineup.
It feels huge.
Interesting. Alex Bregman is playing third base after having to miss 4 or 5 games in a row. He has not played since he was ejected in last Thursday's game. And they said there was swelling in the elbow, and so he missed the rest of that Royals series, missed the first game of the Red Series. And, Clint, he's back in, and he's back in at third base. Your thoughts on everything surrounding Bregman, Bregman being back, batting 4th, and playing in the field immediately?
Well, look, here's the thing. The playing in the field thing it comforts me, to be honest with you. Yeah, because look, they got to be complete idiots if they're playing him in the field and that's what's bothering him or that's what's causing him the issues. Like, I mean, there has to be minimal to no risk if Bregman's playing in the field when you've got a team full of DH, you've got 22 games left in the regular season. Ain't nobody needs that level of rest to where you could compromise Alex Bregman by playing him in the field. If Bregman needed to be a DH and that was in his best interest in terms of allowing him to play and be healthy, I got to believe that the Astros would do that. I know they throw us curveballs with how they communicate with the media about injuries, but I mean, they got to be complete idiots if they're playing Bregman in the field and that is adding risk to him not being able to play, period, across the board. So
I'm trying to do the best I can.
I hear you, baby. The third base thing doesn't bother me. If anything, right now I choose to look at it and say that tells me that whatever damage is in there, it can obviously flare up at any time, but whatever damage is in there, we're not going to lose him because he throws a ball across the diamond. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll regret it later, but that's just where I'm at. I can't take their inability to communicate injuries to the media. I can't take that so far and say, well, they're just going to recklessly play Alex Bregman at third base. I personally can't go there. Batting fourth, I don't get. I mean, he was the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball with the exception of Judge, I guess, who's hitting 400 home runs this year. But, I mean, he was in the two-hole, he was swinging it. Hell, at times he was carrying the team. So I don't know why you would bump him down to the four-hole and leave Alvarez in the two-hole. But here we are. I would bat him in the two-hole right now.
Yeah, the Bregman thing is odd to me because I'm asking myself, when he came back after the series against the White Sox, and had he not played, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7 consecutive games at third base, would he have had to miss, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's game? Would he have had to miss 4 games in a row? I don't know. I don't know where. To me, it would just make sense that it flares up when he has to throw and not as much when he has to swing. For me, I don't know. Just does it. I mean, when you think about elbow soreness, is that coming back from him swinging? Where is that coming from? Like you said, you would think if there was any reasoning or feeling to not that this would put him in a situation where he's got to miss 4 or 5 games again, like he has now had to do twice, they wouldn't put him over there. I just don't know how it makes sense that the highest level of protection of not having to have Alex Bregman miss 4 or 5 games wouldn't be for him not to have to throw if he keeps getting swelling in an elbow.
Cream always rises.
That is his throwing elbow. I don't know. Obviously, they know better than we do, and maybe it is just coming from how he's sleeping or just swelling comes up. I don't know. It just would seem for him to have to throw a baseball would add more pressure to that elbow and would not be something that would help that. So I think it's very odd to me that he's coming right in to play third base. That one is weird to me that he would come in to play third base. And it'll be very disappointing if we run into another stretch and we hear, oh, Alex Bregman got to miss another 5 ball games. And to me, it would make sense, minimize the issues with the elbow. I would think throwing the ball would minimize the issues with an elbow. So I don't know. We've heard him say a bunch of different things with it. It doesn't hurt when he throws or swings. Sometimes it does. It hurts when he's doing non-baseball things is when it flares up. I don't know. It is a weird thing that this keeps coming up
with. Well, I just lean back in. We've used this with the Texans for years, Ron, is don't listen to what they say. Pay attention to what they do. And again, I got to believe that there's little to no risk associated with him playing in the field. I mean, let's be honest. If you're Alex Bregman at this point in time and there was that they're recklessly putting you in the field, you'd shut it down. So I don't know. I agree with you. It's odd, and I don't necessarily understand it all. But I'm just gonna put a little bit of trust in the fact that their actions aren't gonna be as silly as their communications with the media. Hopefully.
Also, someone texted in, LOL, 1 week ago you were killing the Astros for taking Bregs out of the no hit, but now you kill them for playing them. Well, I was killing them because they were They're saying he's fine to play.
That's a bit of a different circumstance there, bud.
He's fine to play. He's fine to play. I thought it was weird. He's come back. They're saying, hey, let's go play first base. We got to find a way in field. But they played him 7 straight games at third base. But now clearly something has happened with his elbow. And now he's coming right back in, and he's going to play third base. Like, it's a little different. Like, we're starting to see it.
I hope his weenus is all right. That's all I know.
Me too. Their actions are saying that dude's elbow's hurt. Coming up, Texans report with our guy Brandon Scott. We'll get his thoughts, what he saw, the latest with Will Anderson Jr., who returned to practice, D'Amico, and C.J. Stroud, all coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. It is 4:40, so that means our guy Brandon Scott joins us for a little Texans report. You were out there today. You were out there at practice and out there talking to D'Amico and C.J. Stroud as they met. The first thing I want to get from you, this is big while we have your eyes there. What did Will Anderson Jr. look as he returned to practice? The first time we've seen Will practice since late July, right before they took off to go to camp. That it's been that long, and now we sit here September 4th, the first time he's returned to practice. How'd he look? Did he look normal?
So you got to remember, and of course, the two of you know this, or the three of you know this, you don't get to look at all of practice during the season the same way you get to in the preseason and training camp. So it's not like we're out there the entire time, but we have, based off of what we've seen and off of what we've heard from, well, you know, D'Amico doesn't give you a whole lot on injuries, but just talking to Will Anderson after practice or during the media availability in the locker room, we've got no reason to believe that Will Anderson is going to be limited. He's definitely going to play. And I always thought that. I always thought that Will Anderson was going to play in this game. My question was more so, is it going to be a snap count? Is it going to be the same explosive? Clinton, you and I talked about this on Monday, on Labor Day. Is it going to be the same explosive Will Anderson that we've all come to know and love, that get off, that special element of Will Anderson's game? Is that going to be a part of it? Is it going to be a snap count? I've got no reason to believe that that's going to be the case. I expect to see Will Anderson at least 90%. I know there's the ankle there, so I'm not going to say 100%. But as far as a snap count or how limited he should be, I'm going to be holding Will Anderson to the normal football player standard that I would anybody else on a week one game.
What else other than Will Anderson? Because I know there's not necessarily injuries, B. Scott, but there's a lot of dudes that we didn't see much of in the preseason. All the way down to, I mean, you know, Laremy Tunsil, the last time we saw him at a practice was a joint practice, and clearly he wasn't ready to play. I think he even mentioned that himself, like, hey, man, by game day, I'll be ready. Just your other takeaways, being there, being in the building, other than Will Anderson, what'd you get a feel for?
Well, just as far as guys we haven't gotten a chance to see a lot of, I got a chance to introduce myself to Joe Mixon. We had not actually met or anything like that prior to today. So I saw him, and he wasn't necessarily available for interviews. Like, he was on his way out, but I did get a chance to, like, at least lay eyes on him and speak to him. And that's just somebody that's on my mind in terms of, to your question, somebody that's going to be very, very important in what they do that we have not seen a ton of. Okay, we've seen him work off to the side quite a bit, and we got the feeling that he's going to be healthy. But a big question about the Texans, at least offensively, is how are they going to run the football? Joe Mixon is going to be a big part of that. Obviously, I know we talked a lot about Damian Pierce, but Joe Mixon is going to be a big part of that. Him being healthy, that's going to help the Damian Pierce question. How healthy and durable is Joe Mixon with a little wear and tear and tread on the tire? And so kind of hopeful for that. Saw him today. Talked to Kenyon Green. I got a chance to talk to Kenyon Green a little bit. He's really excited. I got to remember the last time he played regular season football was the season finale of his rookie year, 2022. So the last time he played a regular season game was at Indianapolis, and now he's coming back after a year. It's a good thing that we didn't talk a lot about him during the preseason. That means he was doing his job. He would agree with that. Like, hey, if y'all not talking about me, that means I'm doing my job. So those are some other guys. Of course, the linebackers, I like how you talked earlier in the show about needing to see other guys step up with Christian Harris out. Talk to Henry Toitoi. He's aware of the opportunity that's in front of him to make the most of his rep. So you got a lot of guys, to your point, that got to go out there and show something.
Brandon Scott here with us, Texans Report, as we do it every Wednesday, 4:40. B-Scott, you are out there, and a lot of the top people spoke, including D'Amico, and I know you discussed setting the tone with him. You talked about that, and when you talked about the run game and how important that is, that jumped out to me. What did you get from him in terms of that?
So, first, let me just tell you kind of where that question comes from. I expect a big part of this game, and let's put it this way. Something that I'm looking for early in the game is who has the explosive plays. Who has the early explosive plays to set the tone? Obviously, D'Amico Ryans is a coach, and so he's going to talk a lot about finishing, and that, of course, is important. But if you look at the theme of both of those games last year, the Colts winning the first one, setting the tone with some explosive plays from Anthony Richardson, really with his legs, yep, and throwing the ball, but mostly with his legs with the touchdowns that he ran. And then how did the Texans set the tone to return the favor with Nico down? And that was a quintessential C.J. Stroud type of play. One of the things that I found real interesting just being around everybody today was how they're on the same page, but they got some different emphasis in terms of D'Amico focusing on the larger picture of finishing the game, being the last man standing, wanting to kind of throw the last punch, whereas C.J. Stroud wants to set the tone. C.J. Stroud wants to throw the first punch. Like that play that we saw to start the game against Indianapolis to end the season. Like that is a quintessential C.J. Stroud type of thing. He talked about wanting to get off to faster starts. They didn't necessarily do that to his liking last year. So I want to see, obviously want to see who's going to win the game, what the final score is going to be, and D'Amico's right about that. But I'm very interested to see who is going to set the tone with the early explosive plays between these two teams, because I know that's something that both of them want to do.
See, Clint, I'm not as much interested in who. I'm almost interested in how. How are they? Do they envision setting the tone?
But I feel like we've seen the blueprint. That's what I'm getting at.
We saw CJ, and I think me and you have talked off the air. We've heard a lot of people. Robert Woods, I believe, is one who has set this player said that. That tone setter was a lot of CJ in that Colts game. That downfield play, that was a lot of CJ. But that's to me, Clint. I am intrigued to see how Bobby Slowick and D'Amico and CJ envision how to set the tone. Is that setting the tone look like Joe Mixon, or is that setting the tone look like Nico Collins, Tank Dell, or Steph Diggs?
Well, I think the interesting part is the jury's still out on what this offense is going to look like. We know it's going to heavily favor C.J. Stroud, obviously, but D'Amico Ryan spoke today and said, "Hey, look, I mean, good teams, Super Bowl caliber teams, and I'm paraphrasing, but Super Bowl caliber teams, they run the football well. They run the football well in the red zone. So I think offensively, there's a little bit of what are we going to look like? We know what we can lean on. We know what we can depend on, but what are we going to look like? Because CJ, as good as CJ Stroud and company are, it's not going to be enough. Like, you're going to have to run the football significantly better and more convincingly than you did last year. So I say all that to say, I would flip to the other side of the football, guys, when you talk about, like, setting the tone. Like, to me, if Anthony Richardson makes some wow play and off schedule, off script, whether it's extend a play and make a big throw over the top because DBs can't cover for 6 seconds or 10 seconds, or he makes a big run. I'm not worried about that. There's no defense for that. It's why those guys are so valuable when they can play, right? But the defense can really set the tone if they don't let Anthony Richardson's legs get going in scheme, and they don't let Jonathan Taylor's legs get going between the tackle. To me, that's setting the tone. To me, that's going, okay, Indy, if you can't run the football downhill in scheme the way that you want to, you're going to have a hard time keeping up with C.J. Stroud. You know, so I think it's more about that defense setting that tone, D'Amico's defense setting that tone, than it is any of the explosives or the uber athletes. Can D'Amico Ryan's defense prove early on that what we watched Jonathan Taylor do last year in that second game, although we won it, what we watched him do in terms of keeping it close, that ain't going to fly this year, boss.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions about the team, right? One of the lingering questions that we've been asking about the team for the entire offseason. Are you good enough between the ends, right? Like, everybody likes Danielle Hunter. Everybody likes Will Anderson. And it is a headline and a big topic right now that Will Anderson looks like he's going to play, and not just that he's going to play, but he's not going to be limited, or super limited at least. And so, like, I think that's valuable, first of all. So it's not just a topic because of his name, but because of his value, to the very point that you're mentioning, Clint. I think he's going to be a big part of that. But also, what about the guys? I was looking for Mario Edwards today. I know we talked earlier in the week, but guys like that, Mario Edwards, Foley Fadakasi, Tim Settle, like the guys in between. We talked about this earlier in the week, Clint, you and I on Monday. Danico, I feel like Danico Autry, or I might have mentioned this on In the Loop yesterday, but either way, Danico Autry not being there, I think, is a big deal. You know, that to me, that's a big deal, because that's somebody that paid a significant amount of money to do that very thing, to be kind of a junkyard dog for them in the middle, and to help them with that exact thing. And then, of course, Christian Harris, the athlete that he is. We talked about this, Clint. They don't have anybody necessarily like that, and especially with Harris's experience now, that can replicate that sideline-to-sideline capability that you certainly need with both an Anthony Richardson and a Jonathan Taylor, a dynamic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Backfield like that.
Brandon, listen, I know you've talked to and run into CJ a lot in these settings. This is year two. What's the feel you got from him today, talking to him, talking to the media, going into now 1 year removed, the next year getting focused for game one? What's the feel? Does he feel different? Do you sense a different CJ Stroud?
So the confidence and sort of that quiet arrogance is still there. Like, I think I was able to sense that very early on, and it's a redeeming quality. I want to be clear about that. Like, I like it. I want to see that in your quarterback. But the thing that stood out to me most just listening to him talk today was really how the relationship with Bobby Slowick has just developed over time, which is just natural, right? After y'all two worked together after a year, y'all were much more comfortable together as a show than y'all were when y'all first started. That's just natural after experience at the time together. I think it's no different for those two. And again, going back to the fact that Bobby Slowick was brought back, I think just as they were developing that relationship, for him to not be taken away by another team, and they get to go into year two singing the same songs, speaking the same language offensively, Clint, I know you can speak to this as a quarterback. Like, that is super important. I think everybody on the offense recognizes it. And, man, it's finally time to see it play out in action, man, on Sunday.
How do you feel about any kind of prediction or anything? I know it's only Wednesday, but we don't get you again.
Oh, man, I got the Texans by – let's go Texans by 6. 23 and whatever minus 6 17. Is, so 17. 23-17 Texans.
Is that what last year ended up, or was it 23-15?
Oh, man, that would be an accident if I did that. I hope not.
There was a late – it was 23-19 because of the late safety.
Okay.
It was going to be 23-17 until DeMeco took – nice call.
Texans
by 6, baby.
This is a big game to me in the division.
Let's get it on, baby.
I think if the –
Here's Mark.
Obviously, if the Texans get a road win, that's big as the favorite. But if the Colts somehow pull this off and they win that game, I think that makes this thing feel tighter.
Even though I'm picking the Texans to win, the things that I don't want to underestimate going into this game, the Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor dynamic against this run defense, and then on the other side, Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner in the middle, like how the Texans front offensive line, I mean, matches up against their defensive front is going to be a huge part of this game.
Oh, Kenyon and Juice going to get tested, baby.
We think they had a good training camp. We're going to see right out the gate how good it was.
Yeah, I'm ready to see it.
All right, that's Brandon Scott. You can catch all his work at sportsradio610.com as he joins us every single Wednesday at 4:40. He also joins In the Loop every single Tuesday at 11. So check him out all over Sports Radio 610. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll give you the latest on what the general manager is saying about his star outfielder, Kyle Tucker, and get you ready for this game, as well as Spencer Urgetti continues to try to add to his second half. And it looks like the blueprint is out for Derek Stingley Jr. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.